jewels, no kingdom to rule, no crown of majesty, no throne and no robe, no silver, no gold, no clothes of royalty. Yet the King of Kings left heaven to become a lonely man. He left all of heaven's glory to fulfill the Father's plan. He still came just for me, he still came. Knowing all he would endure, he still came. Disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. He still came. No family, no friends to help in the end. No out, no side. Much pain and much hurt to give love and worth, he bore my sin's abuse. Yet the hope of all he offered so outweighed what must be done. He chose to be my victor and assured my pardon won. He still came just for me, he still came. Knowing all he would endure, he still came. Disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. Disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. Disregarding every cost, from the manger to the cross, he still came just for me. He still came.
All right. We are blessed to have great staff here. Brother Ross is one of our staff men. He's been with us, I think, on staff 17 or 18 years now and started in our high school. I still remember his family came and they wanted to put him in our Christian school right away, and we didn't know him. I remember we had a meeting with Pastor. He's like, "What do you think? Should we give this guy a chance?" I think I said, "Sure, we could always just kick him out if he messes around, right?" And we've been trying to kick him out ever since, but he's kind of stuck. But we're going to have him preach for us tonight, and so glad to have Brother Ross. Does a great job in anything that we ask him to do, and so we're glad to have him tonight.
Thank you. Yeah, I remember that meeting, and they were in that little office, and they were questioning me. You know, I've been a Southern Baptist all my life, and then I came to our church, and didn't know what an Independent Baptist was. And when we had first come to California, we didn't know where to go to church, so we went to my first introduction to a charismatic church. And I didn't know, I thought it was just old hymns and stuff, because I went to a Southern Baptist church, but we always sang hymns. And I said, "Man, that's some different music right there." And they met with me and they said, "No, you can't speak in tongues, you can't do this." I said, "I don't know what that is." And came to school. I remember before that, I was looking for the church. And again, I always went to the Southern Baptist Church, and we went to big Southern Baptist churches, and we came and we wanted to come to the Great Cambodian Baptist Church at that time. And my mom's driving around, she's looking for it. They didn't have GPS or anything like that at that time. They had, you know, go down the street, take a left, take a right, you know, one of those things. And we're driving, I see some big, nice churches. I said, is that the church? No, that's not the, is that the church? No, that's not the, and she's looking for, I said, that's probably the church right there. It's a nice building. No, no. And then she goes through an alley. And there's a sign, Miss Olma, you probably remember that sign. It had barbed wires. It says, Cambodian Baptist Church. And I walk in, you know, I have my shirt and tie and stuff, like church attire. And I walk in there, I'm like, we got church here? What's going on? They had, you know, a bunch of Cambodian kids and Lao kids, Karat kids. And they're there, they had their flip-flops on and, you know, come to church with flip-flops. I mean, if you want to come to church with flip-flops, hey, so be it. But I wasn't used to that. And I came out like, wow, this is something different. And it was just an awesome experience, you know, going in, coming in, looking like barbed wires, and then sitting in. It wasn't a church building. It was like a room. And we just sat there, and I remember the platform were made of, it was made of milk crates. And that was our platform. And I sat there, and I was thinking, what in the world is this? And I'm going to come to school here. I went to a private school before I came to our school. I went to this big Catholic private school. We didn't have a school, but my mom put me in a Catholic school. Went to that Catholic school. It was St. Patrick's. It was a nice one of the best schools in my area in Massachusetts. I came here. I'm thinking, now where's the school? This is it. Okay, where are the desks? Right there. I'm like, wow, who are the teachers? We had a couple of teachers, Pudge, Acer, Sandy, all those guys, ACE, and it was something else. We went one time, I was upstairs with some of the guys, and we opened a drawer, and one of the teenagers was sleeping in Katakun's house in a drawer. Opened the drawer up, and there's a guy sleeping in there. It was the weirdest thing, and never in my life did I think I would stay in a church like this. And at that time, you all wouldn't have come. But great stories. We came, and as soon as Pastor preached, I remember God started doing something. You know how the term, he put the cookie on the bottom shelf? It was on the bottom shelf. When I went to church before, it was like, okay, the preaching started. Let me go somewhere else because it's going to go way over my head. It was in Khmer, and, you know, it's just crazy. This pastor preached, I'm thinking, okay, I can deal with this. This is good. And God started working in my heart, and God called me to preach. Thank God for Pacific Baptist Church. Thank God for Pastor Myers, Pastor Esposito, the Esposito and the Myers family. Been a great help. Christmas is upon us, and one thing, I love Christmas. I love the Christmas songs. Right after Thanksgiving, and you might think I'm corny, I start listening to Christmas music. And I have that itch to listen to Christmas music right after that. Our family, we decorate our tree. We go get a tree. We decorate the house and everything like that. But one thing about Christmas, sometimes if we're not careful, we overspend. Just be careful. Don't overspend this Christmas. Make sure you have a budget. Make sure you have a list of who you're going to give gifts to. By the way, if you haven't bought those gifts yet, thank God for Amazon Prime. Amen? So make sure you get that. But don't overspend. A week before Christmas, a father living in California calls his son in New England and tells him that he and his mother are getting a divorce. 40 years of misery is enough. I can't take another day of this. We're done, I tell you. Through, finish. I'm filing for divorce. I cannot live with that woman any longer. No, shouts the son. What happened? I thought everything was great. He says, I want to talk, the father says, I don't want to talk to you about this anymore. Our minds are made up. You tell your sisters that I'm upset to talk about it again. And his father said, well, the son calls his sisters, and the sister become just crazy, kind of concerned. Yeah, right, they're getting a divorce. What's going on over there? He says, all right, that's it. The siblings talk to each other. I'm calling the airline right now, and you and I are flying out there tomorrow morning. You call Dad and tell him not to do anything until we get there. The son calls back, calls his father back and pleads with him, says, Dad, don't do anything. Me and my sister are coming down to see you guys. Don't do anything. Don't make any decision. Don't go see the Lord. Don't do anything. The dad grumpily agrees and says, okay. Puts the phone down and turns to his wife, says, hon, the kids are coming home for Christmas, and the best thing, we don't even have to pay for it. So by hook or by crook, right? Save some money there. Hebrews chapter 12. I thought about preaching a Christmas message, but Pastor Meyer said I got about 30 minutes here, so I took 10 minutes on that joke, so it's not going to be good. Actually, the punchline was pretty good. I'm really bad at jokes. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to teach you something. It's almost a teaching, almost like a Sunday school class today. I'm not an expert on this by any means. I've been working with teenagers for 20 plus years. I've been the youth pastor at our church here since I was 19 years old, I believe. I was a youth pastor, junior high youth pastor at that time, and Pastor Myers was a senior high youth pastor. And growing up and just being with the kids now, some of the kids that are in the junior high department are married, and you know, I started real young. I have one now that was in the teen department, Pastor Myers, their parents, and now the kids are in sixth and seventh grade. I'm thinking, man, I started young. I'm not old. I just started young. My wife and I, we talk sometimes. I say, "Hun, we're getting old." Wow. I remember I thought Pastor Myers was old when he had his big 30 birthday, and I'm over 40 now, and it's just up there. But I still feel young. Amen. So Hebrews chapter 12, talking a little bit today about just how to properly discipline your child. How to properly discipline your child. And being around the teenagers, and I wish I could be around them a lot more. I remember the early days. I mean, lived, ate, slept. I mean, teenagers, they came over my, it was just crazy. And things get busy and everything. I thank God for Brother Daniel helping. But I appreciate teenagers that grow up that are now adults and they're serving God. It brings joy. When I see a guy like a brother Joseph come through, and I used to live with Pastor once upon a time, and I would watch how he dealt with his children. And I would watch how Pastor Myers dealt with his children. And I would watch and just the godly people, how they dealt. And I wanted a godly family. I wanted to reach the, you know, Pastor had ingrained that in us since we were younger about, bringing up a family and getting our families to serve God. And I wanted that. I want children to one day find the will of God and do the will of God. I want my children to one day look back and say, and I have no regrets, and saying, man, I've done my best with my children. I've disciplined right, and I've loved right, and I've done right so they could love God and they could do something for God. And that's my goal. That's what I want. And I want our teenagers, that every time I come through the school and I shake their hand, I want them, I want to just tell some of them and shake them and say, hey, I've been doing this for a long time. Why don't you listen to some of the things that older people have gone through and they've seen, and why don't you just do it? You don't want to go through it. And sometimes my heart is broken because sometimes the kids, Pastor Myers, they sit in the service and they've gone to our school, and sometimes they're like, I know better. I remember talking to a teenager one time, and I sat in my office. It was over there at the old building. And I said, you're going the wrong direction. Your siblings have gone down the wrong direction. Your friends have gone down the wrong direction. They've had kids out of wedlock, and they've done this, this, and this. And they always look at me with a very, very, very stern look, like I am not that dumb. I'm not going to go that way. But I said, well, the direction you're heading, you're going to do it. I said, you can't point that direction and not get to the destination that you're pointed to. They always think, oh, I'm smarter than that. That's not going to be me. I want to go down that road, but I'm going to, you know, go around and not mess up my life. No, if you're heading down that road, teenagers, you're going to mess up your life. And let me say this. As parents, we need to do our best to help guide our children. Parents, we're not there just to simply feed them and clothe them and give them a place to sleep. We're there to rear them and raise them and love them and nurture them and show them how to get to where they're going. In Hebrews chapter 12, and again, I'm no expert in this. I fail at this, and I'm just giving you the things here that books I've read and men of God that I've talked to and things I've learned from Pastor Myers and things I've learned from Pastor Esposito. Hebrews chapter 12. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every man or every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. By the way, if you're a Christian and God doesn't chasten you, you better check your salvation. You better check your salvation. Oh, I'm doing this and I'm getting away with it. Well, God's not going to spank somebody that's not his child. And the Bible does say your sin will find you out. You endure chastening, God dealeth with you as a son, for whom, for what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastening, wherefore are all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons, simply set there. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us. Says, man, God, the heavenly father corrects us, and God, and our fleshly father, if you are, our earthly, I'm sorry, father chastens us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the Father of the Spirit and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that he might be partakers of his holiness. Father, we pray, Lord, you bless these next 20 or so minutes we have together. Give us, Lord, insight to your word and help us as parents here at Pacific Baptist Church, Lord, to love and to nourish and to give our children, Lord, a fair chance, Lord, at serving you. And Father, I just pray that you just bless us during this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You know, if we raise our children to how we were raised, we're raising them man's way. Don't raise our children to man's level. Raise them according to God's word. You might say, oh, this is how my father did it, and this is how my mother did it. And that's okay. You can learn some things. But make sure what your father and what your mother did was biblical. You know, there's a culture clash now. Maybe the Asians and the Hispanics and whatever culture you're in, and your children are Americanized. You say, but bless God, when I was in Cambodia, this is what I did. We were, you know, in the wintertime, we walked up the hill both ways to school barefoot, and this is how we did it. Well, that's good. That's how you did it. But you don't discipline. You don't do that just the way you did it. Make sure it's biblical. You know, being a youth pastor here, sometimes the culture clashes with the kids. And let me say this, kids, understand that your parents are different. Kids, close your ears. Parents, understand your kids are different. And the way your parents did it might not be the right way that you ought to do it. Make sure it's the biblical way. It doesn't matter how your children turn out. I hope my children all turn out. But I told my wife, all that matters is I want to train them right. And if one day maybe they turn bad, I hope not, but that's my children's decision and not my responsibility anymore. Now, I'm going to love them. I'm going to be sad. We're going to cry, and we're going to be heartbroken. But I've got to do what I can right now when they're kids. And parents, so many parents, and let me say this, and I, forgive me, and I'm not trying to be mean or anything like that, but the school is so awesome when our kids are in elementary. Oh, the teachers are amazing. But let me say this, parents with teenagers, once they become teenagers, man, something happened to that school. No, nothing happened to school. Nothing happened to school. Your kids. It's your kids. The school is still the same. The teachers are still the same. But we got to understand that, you know, some of us, when our kids get older, instead of nurturing them and praying with them and helping them, all we do is we point fingers and we do the blame game. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. You're burning bridges that you should not burn for your kids. I'm getting ahead of myself. But it doesn't matter how your children turn out. You pray as when they're in your home. All that matters is that you did it God's way. If they turn out bad, again, we're heartbroken. But they need to give an account of themselves to God also. Right. You don't give up. You don't quit. Oh, my adult children, they're not in church anymore. I want to quit. You keep going for God. Amen. I remember Brother Treiber preached a message, and he preached hard. Some of you parents, your kids are not serving the Lord anymore. And your children are backsliding. That doesn't mean you're back. You should be backsliding. Don't follow your adult children. Because one day when they get right, they need somebody to come to. They need a church where the mom and dad are still faithful to God. And they're pillars. By the way, if you don't discipline your child, you're not doing it God's way. You have to discipline your child. Discipline is a God-like character. Discipline is your proof of love. Discipline is not just whipping a child, but it includes spanking. You say, oh, that's child abuse. I'm not talking about child abuse. You ought to be hung. You ought to be put in jail for a long time. I'm not talking about abusing a child. I'm talking about proper biblical discipline. Rearing children is a matter of developing discipline, not administering discipline. Rearing children is a matter of developing discipline, not administering discipline. I grieve when I have to spank my kids, but I know that's the best thing for them. Proper discipline draws, proper biblical discipline draws closer the relationship of the parent with the child. There should be a dialogue there. There should be some prayer there. There should be some talking. There should be some teaching. The purpose of discipline is to shape the child so he can reach his ultimate or her ultimate goal of living his life or her life in the will of God. Amen. By the way, children all have a fallen nature. They need discipline. They need discipline to help them to raise above their fallen nature. They need discipline to, you know, if we're not helping them raise above that and disciplining them, we're not helping them as a child. You say, oh, but he, you know, pastor preached this. It's the fun. You're strict on them. And the more responsibility, the more, the older and the more mature they got, they become, you give them more freedom. But a lot of times, as parents, we do it the opposite way. We give them freedom. As soon as they get in trouble, nope, can't do this, can't do that. And then the kids get all bent out of shape. Like, oh, why did you take my freedom? Why did you take that away? No, we have it opposite. The Bible uses two terms to reference discipline, rod and reproof. By the way, young people, your college kids, you might want to listen. You plan on having children here. Rod and reproof. Proverbs 29:14, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringing his mother shame. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Amen. Thank you, Brother Pichardo. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from you. The rod is physical punishment, and reproof is verbal correction. You need both. When you discipline, you reprove the child and express your love for them. Then you must use the rod of correction so that they associate the wrongdoing with physical pain. You don't associate wrongdoing and correct them by, oh, well, he's not going to do it. Here's some ice cream. And guess what? They're going to go do wrong again. Our Heavenly Father uses punishment and rewards. So it makes sense that we as earthly fathers and earthly parents do the same. God has instilled in us when there's something about pain that we don't do it anymore. Hey, praise the Lord. You know, most of us are pretty smart, and if we go and touch a hot iron or something, we don't say, pain, I love it. I love the smell of burnt human flesh. No, we're not like that. We touch it, because it's instilled in us, if it doesn't feel good, let's not do it anymore. You know, only weirdos like, you know, pain and agony. Most of us aren't weirdos. Let me give you some points here to help on discipline our children. You have handouts, all right? y'all have handouts. Okay. Some points to help discipline our children. Number one, here's a big one. Never discipline out of anger. Never discipline out of anger. Some parents discipline their child for spilling milk or breaking a tray or they're calling groceries. They fall and they break eggs or something like that. No, that's a mistake. You shouldn't discipline them because of that. No, you tell them, hey, quit being so clumsy. You know, get up, help you out. But we get mad at them for doing things like that when it's not something that is a disciplinary problem. It's a mistake. Never discipline out of anger. And we, when we're angry, the Bible says that, you know, our spirit. I know this. When I'm angry, I got to step back sometimes and just say, okay, go to your room. I'll deal with this in a minute. And come back. Because when we're angry, we say and we do things that we regret. You know how it is, married guys. We're angry, we say something to our wife, like, oh, let me get that back. Put it back in. It's too late. It's already out there. It's all right. She already heard it. She kept it. Now she has it. You said this, you know. And then here's the big words. I'm sorry. Forgive me. Shouldn't have said that. But never discipline out of anger. Number two, you must immediately correct wrong in a child's life. Now, if you're angry, don't correct it immediately. Cool yourself down. But you must immediately correct wrong in a child's life. When they do wrong, don't let it just sit and then come discipline them 2 weeks later. Oh, you remember you did that? Immediately, take care of it. When you have small children, take care of it immediately. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not exceedingly executed speedily, therefore the heart of the son of man is fully set in them to do evil. Number three, never discipline without making it very clear what the child has done wrong. I'm just beat you because, you know, because I love it. Nobody loves to spank you or child. Nobody likes that. Nobody likes to do that. But when you do it, make it clear what they did wrong. The extent of the discipline is determined on the extent of the wrong. If the person just does something, you know, very minute, we blow up. You're grounded for a year and a half. You can't get married until you're 45 now. It's like, really? Come on now. I mean, all he did was just chew gum in school. You know, do what you got to do. But never discipline without making it very clear what the child has done wrong. Now, number next, make sure they know how or what you expect before you discipline. If the person doesn't know what they're doing is wrong, you can't, you know. You make sure, by the way, your teenage child, they know. Your children know. Make sure you let them know what you expect, how you want it done, and make sure they understand that. Number five, discipline includes admiration as well as admonition. Let the child know when they do right, and let them know when they do wrong. By the way, let me say this. You need to build a verbal reward. Parents, this is how we are sometimes. And I'm like this. When they do wrong, it's just like a magnet. You did wrong. When they do, they're supposed to do that anyways. But you know your kids, they need a bank. You need a bank of saying kind things to them. Hey, Daniel, you did a good job there. Hey, Tim, you did a good job. Hey, Billy, you did a good job. Oh, man, your room looks great. Oh, man, what a one. And by the way, always praise character. Praise character and not talent. There's a difference. Some of us, oh, you look so pretty. That's good. But pretty never got you anywhere as far as the Bible is concerned. All right? Now, the world thinks pretty, well, whatever, you don't want that. Oh, you're pretty. That dress is nice. That's good and all. But praise. Man, you did a good job with that homework. You did a good job with working and helping out your brothers and sisters. Whatever it might be, praise character and not talent, because not everybody can be talented. Jaylene came to sing. She did a great job. Miss Hannah played. She did a great job. I can't play, and I can't sing, so I can never get praise for singing. Amen? So not everybody has the same talent, but everybody, well, you know, we can work hard. We can study. Number next, with every negative, provide the child with positives. With every negative, provide the child with positive. Give them hope. Oh, you're a loser. Bad kid. And the kid's done wrong. They know they're done wrong. And you say nothing nice. Look, son. Look, daughter. Look, Missy. I know you did that. Broke our heart. You're a good person. You're a good daughter. I love you. Let's not do that again. Don't just ridicule them for all the wrong that they do. Let's praise them. Let's give them hope. If your kid messed up, don't just put them down. Give them hope. Hey, God can use this to help you in the future. God can use this to help you to encourage somebody else down the road here. Every negative, provide the child with positive. The Bible says, as a finding pot of silver in the furnace of gold, so is a man to his praise. Praise seven times. Somebody said 7 to 10 praise for every rebuke. And a lot of times it's the opposite. We do 7 to 10 rebukes for one praise. Number next, I got 3 minutes. If their action requires strong measure, do not be afraid to deal strongly with them. If their actions require strong measures, do not be afraid to deal strongly with them. If they do something pathetic and dumb, deal with it right. No. You need to make sure you take care of it. Number eight. If they fail at something, never blame someone else. If they fail at something, never blame something else. Again, don't blame the teachers. Don't blame. It's not the teacher's fault. My kids, they get their demerits. I look at it. Just thinking, Miss Gina. Picking all my kids. We could do that all day. But have we ever tried picking up the phone and said, Miss Gina, with a good spirit, tell me how I can help my child out. I'm here with you. Don't criticize the teachers and don't criticize those that are trying to help your kids in front of your kids, because they're not going to respect the people that are trying to help your children. So never, if they fail at something, never blame someone else. Oh, but it's their fault. That's why they did this. No, time out. You're the parent. They're the child. Let's do our best. Let's work together. Amen. I'm sorry. Number nine. Always look at your child's potential. And never let your frustration steal your hope for them. Always look at your child's potential and never let your frustration steal your hope for them. You know how it is sometimes. You're proud of all your children, but certain children I don't have to really mess. Some of them are like, the burden of sin has been lifted. I'm joking, but sometimes we feel like that. Man, this one's hard. I said, don't give up. Look at their potential. Look at their positives. And build that. Let me say this, dads. Let me say this. Look, dads, please. If you and your children, mom, if you and your children's heart are not knit, there's some work that needs to be done. If you talk to your child and there's a wall, and all you're doing is you're trying to talk to them like a wall, there's some work that needs to be done. There's some bitterness that needs to, maybe that you've caused. There's some hurt that maybe you've caused. The Bible says, children or fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Children, obey your fathers, but fathers, if you're losing your children's heart, let's get it back before somebody else grabs it, before the world grabs it. You know if you're losing their hearts or not. By the way, if you don't know, you're either, watching too much TV or you're oblivious, you're retarded, I don't know. If you don't know, get some help. Because usually if you don't know, you're not connected to your children. Be connected to them. Number next, build up a bank. I mentioned that. Build up a bank. Love your child. Spend time with them. Love and praise them. have an abundance of it, and when they do wrong, it's easy to draw and discipline. But if you discipline and discipline and discipline and discipline and discipline, but don't have that bank of praise and that bank of love and that bank of goodness to your children, you're gonna cause them to hurt their spirit. Number next. Whenever it's necessary to take disciplinary action, do it privately. You know how parents are sometimes. Their friends come, and we say, "Okay, I'm gonna get on." Parents, this is what we do sometimes. We get on our children in front of their friends. Well, you know, why don't you be like that person? Look at that, they're helping. Or man, you'd never clean your room. You're lazy. You're good for nothing. And all their kids, all their friends are around, and guess what? That you just did. You just got them bitter at you, and you just hurt their feelings. Be careful. It kind of like helps us, you know, get a burden off our chest. I'll show him. Yeah, but you're hurting your child, and you're not helping them. In a nutshell, discipline, biblical discipline, is this right here. Ready for it? Work. It's work. And as parents, let's work to see the next generation stay faithful to God. It's not going to be on accident. We have great kids here. I love our teenagers. But I don't want good teenagers. I want spiritual teenagers, and I want teenagers that are seeking and striving to do what God wants them to do. And we have Pastor Myers, we have good parents. We have parents that love their children. But sometimes we get disconnected sometimes with our children, and we need to just do our best as a team to raise these children and these teenagers together. Let's pray.